And if you've got a Bible, it will really help you if you follow it. If you put it under your chair, why not pick it up and open it at Romans chapter 8, which you'll find on page 1135 in the Church Bible, 1135. And we're going to read from verse 31 down to verse 39. If you have been here recently, we've been looking at this little section of the Bible over the last week together. And we're going to look at the last bit of it this morning on Easter Day. So Romans 8, verse 31, the Apostle Paul is writing to those who have come to believe in the Lord Jesus. And he says, "What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." This is the word of God. Now, at this point in our services, we always say, "Please, would you open your Bible again with me at the passage we're looking at?" So would you open your Bible again with me at Romans 8 that you'll find on page 1135? The reason that we do this is that I'm not worth listening to at all unless what I say is what's found in the Bible. And so I hope you will look and check that what I'm saying is what the Bible is actually saying. But as we start, I want to tell you about what happened on Sunday, 15th of February, this year. ISIS released a video of the beheading of 21 Egyptian Christians kidnapped in Libya. In the video that first appeared on Twitter, ISIS militants dressed in black marched captives dressed in orange jumpsuits to a beach. Then they forced the captives to kneel down and they beheaded them. A caption on the 5-minute video read this: "The people of the cross, followers of the hostile Egyptian church." It could as well have said, "Followers of the risen Jesus Christ." It was a terrible, a brutal act of evil. But in the last few weeks, a leaflet has been distributed by Christian believers in Egypt, which helps us to understand something important. The leaflet is called Two Rows by the Sea, and it includes a poem, which I've adapted slightly for this morning. Here it is. "Two rows of men walk the shore of the sea on a day when the world's tears would run free. One a row of assassins who thought they did right, the other of believers, true sons of the light. One holding knives in hands held high, the other with hands empty, defenseless and tied. One row of slits to conceal glaring dead eyes, the other with living eyes raised to the skies. One row stood steady, pallbearers of death. The other knelt ready, welcoming heaven's breath. One rose spewed wretched, contemptible threats. The other spread God-given peace and rest. A question: which row will prevail? The row in orange, watching paradise open, or the row in black, with minds evil and broken? This little leaflet then has the words of the verses we read together in Romans 8. The verses, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" And I'm sure as I read them now, you will see the relevance to those men on the beach. "Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now you may be asking, what's the connection with today? Well, first, over our Easter services, three so far, the fourth this morning, we've been looking at Romans 8 from things that believers in Jesus can say because Jesus died and rose again. And we've learned that believers in Jesus can say God is for us. Believers in Jesus can say God will give us all we need. Believers in Jesus, we thought on Good Friday, can say all charges are covered. And on Easter Sunday morning, we can say, nothing can separate us from God's love. According to Romans 8:35, the heads of those believers on that beach may have been separated from their bodies, but their souls were not and cannot ever be separated from the love of God for them. The second connection is this. In a moment, Dorothy is going to be baptized in this pool of water. She's identifying herself as what? As one of the people of the cross. She's identifying herself as a follower of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, a member of his worldwide church. So what's ahead for Dorothy? She's very young. What's ahead for her? What's ahead for any believer in the Lord Jesus? Well, only God knows the details. But the Bible teaches that following the Lord Jesus provides no immunity from trouble and hardship. Just as Jesus was persecuted, so will those who follow him. At this point in history, in our country, followers of Jesus are not imprisoned, they're not executed, but as we've thought, it's happening elsewhere in the world, probably even right now on Easter Day. And it has happened in the past in our country. I could take you to places in our country where there are memorials which say that there were people killed in these places simply because they believed in Jesus. And that could happen again in our country in Dorothy's lifetime. But a true Christian, according to Romans 8:35-39, is someone who is so convinced of God's love for them that they can say, because of Easter, I am convinced that nothing, even persecution that leads to death, that nothing can separate us from God's love for us. Well, I hope you're asking the question, what does this mean? Where does this conviction come from? And from these verses, we discover three things. Those who are convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love are those, first of all, who trust the love demonstrated on the cross. Look at verse 35, see what it says. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, at this point, we read that word love. Blokes, we probably switch off. And a lot of women, and I'm not being critical here because I have three daughters, all right? Love is what's depicted in a kind of Jane Austen kind of way. Can I ask you to bin that kind of picture of love? The love of Christ is a unique kind of love. You could call it a no other like it kind of love. It is the love Jesus demonstrated as he died on the cross in the place of sinners. Now, just think with me a moment about a classic love story, Pride and Prejudice. Most of the girls will know about Pride and Prejudice. I've watched it loads because I have three daughters. But just think about that story. Lizzie Bennet eventually sees something attractive in Mr. Darcy that means she considers him worthy of her love. And Mr. Darcy, well, he sees Lizzie Bennet as worthy of his love. It's the love of attraction. It's the love of worth. It's the love of deservedness. Bin that when it comes to the love of Christ. The love of Christ shown on the cross is the active love of God for the unattractive, for the unworthy, for the unlovely. People like me. People actually, the Bible says, like us all. Were you listening to Dorothy's testimony? Did you hear her when she said, "I basically assumed I had to be good to earn God's approval. And I thought I was good. I was fine." And many of us might think we are good. Many of us may think we are fine. Can I tell you the best test of how good we are? We need to put ourselves up against Jesus Christ in his perfect humanity. Then we discover we are not good. We discover we are not fine. And we discover that rather than enjoy the security of God's love, well, we deserve to be separated, cut off, amputated from his love forever. Which is why God's plan was that Christ, his perfect Son, should leave heaven, live as none of us have lived, a perfect life, and then die on the cross. And as Dorothy is baptized in a moment, she is saying, look, I understand that it was on the cross, while we were still sinners, that God demonstrates his love for us, this no other like it love. Dorothy is saying, I've discovered that as he died, Jesus took upon himself the separation from God's love that we each deserve. He took upon himself, and this was what's happening as he died in those 3 hours of darkness, he took upon himself the punishment of hell itself. And he did that so that all who believe in him might never, ever, ever be separated from God's love. It's those who trust in Jesus personally. Did you notice that in Dorothy's testimony? Personally. Who have come to understand that the cross is the proof positive of God's love for them. They trust that love. And secondly, they rely on Jesus, the risen Lord. Doogie explained to us, didn't he, that baptism is a picture of death. Dorothy, you're going under the water. But I promise it will be only momentary and we will bring you up again. And then up out of the water, picture of resurrection. Now this last week, I met with a young couple who in a few weeks' time are going to stand on this platform and they're going to make their marriage vows to one another. And so I went through their marriage vows with them. And then we got to that bit in the marriage vows where the husband and the new husband, they're about to be a husband and wife because they're not married till I pronounce them married. But anyway, at that point of the service, they say that they promise to love and to cherish each other. And as we looked at that, those words, we thought about that love that actually for the Christian, that love is best described by Jesus, by what he did on the cross, and therefore this love husband and wife are to show one another is a very active, real, sacrificial thing. But then at the end of the wedding vows, there's a sobering little phrase. Do you know what it is? A husband and wife promise to love and to cherish one another till death parts us. And that's a reality check, isn't it? Even in a wedding service. However much we have actively loved someone or have been actively loved by someone else, that love is limited, is it not? It's limited in time because death will come and death will separate us from that active love. That is not the case with the love of God in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus, yes, he died as a demonstration of God's love, but then he rose from the grave on the third day. Now, I'm not going to go into the evidence for that this morning. Do you know, if you've never examined the evidence for the resurrection, can I urge you to look at it in the Bible? It's all there. It stands up to scrutiny. Have a look at it. But what I want to tell you is that this fact of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, it is the key truth of the Christian faith. If Christ has not been raised, what Dorothy is about to do is really foolish. If Christ has not been raised, we might as well sell this building to a carpet warehouse. If Christ has not been raised, those 21 Egyptian believers, they died in vain. But he did rise from the dead. And it's because he rose and lives forever, never to die again, that believers in him can be sure they will never be separated from his love, his active love. The Lord Jesus, he always lives. And that means that he always loves. He loves forever his people. I just glanced down again at these verses. Did you see there's two pretty horrible lists, aren't there? Look at the horrible list. Verse 35, seven words describing real suffering. Trouble, that's strong pressure. Hardship, affliction that causes distress. Persecution, bad treatment because of belief. Famine, no food. Nakedness, no clothes. Danger, real peril. Sword, execution. And just note, all those things happened to Jesus, didn't they? And as an aside, that means those who believe in him knows he sympathizes. And more than that, the Bible says he walks with us through those things. But then look at verse 38. There's another little list. Death, life, angels, demons, present, future, any powers, height, depth, anything else. And it's as if the Apostle Paul, who wrote these words, he's giving us a list of all the potential candidates that we think these things might in some way separate us, amputate us from the love of God for us in Jesus. And look what he says in verse 38. No. It's almost as though he'd shout it, but I won't shout it because I'll blow your ears off. No. No. Why not? Well, look at the end of verse 39, the key word, Lord. What does the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead declare? That he is Lord. In other words, that he really is the king of the universe. That he is the boss. That he is sitting on the throne of the universe. That ultimately everything is going to submit to him. He is in ultimate control. Now at times, it may seem as though our circumstances are in conflict with God's love. But look at verse 36. It's a quote from the Old Testament. As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. It's always been true that those who live by faith in God have often experienced danger and even death. It happened in the Old Testament. It happened to Jesus. It happened to the early church. It's happening throughout the world today. But believers in the risen Jesus can be sure that they cannot be separated from God's love because Jesus rose from the dead. You see, here's the promise. The Bible says that because Jesus is Lord, the one who rose from the dead, believers in him can be sure that they also will be raised to new life and will be given a resurrection body like Jesus's resurrection body. Come back to me with that beach in Libya, to that beach in Libya. Think of those 21 men butchered there. Where are those men now? Their souls are in heaven, in paradise. And their bodies, wherever they may be, their bodies are awaiting the day of resurrection when, yes, all believers will be given resurrection bodies like that of Jesus. And you know, that day when it comes will be the day when the whole world sees the proof that nothing can separate those who believe in Jesus from the love of God for them. And that means one third thing. Those who are convinced of this, follow the Lord Jesus, whatever happens. You see, knowing you're secure sets you free to obey. Who's been to Go Ape? Anyone done Go Ape? It's a young people. Well, I'm a bit older, but anyway, I like doing stupid things sometimes. But Go Ape is a thing where you go up into trees and swing on branches, basically, like apes. Now, the most important thing about Go Ape is that you have a harness on. Because the harness, and I've lost my place, the harness basically keeps you safe. So there's this bit on the one I went to in Norfolk where you basically are told, just step out into nothing. And you step out into nothing because there's a sign saying, do it. And what you do, you trust that this harness will hold you. You trust that this thing round you will keep you safe as you step out into nothing. That's the idea, I think, here of the love of God in Christ Jesus. If we know we are secure in God's love, then we are set free to obey Jesus Christ, to follow him, whatever it means, whatever the cost, whatever happens. Now, through the ages, many believers in Jesus have followed him at great cost. Why have they done so? How have they been able to do so? Because they've looked back to these two great events of human history: the death of Jesus for their sins and the resurrection of Jesus to life, declaring him to be Lord. For one last time, come back to that beach. Who on that day in February this year was in the most secure position? Who in that day was in the enviable position? The Bible says it was the men who were beheaded. In Islam, there's no certainty of heaven. You just hope your good deeds will have outweighed your bad deeds and you might scrape in. In Islam, there's no personal relationship with a God of love. But the Christian gospel, the Christian good news, is that those who trust in Jesus Christ, undeserving as they are, get to experience the love of God both now and for all eternity. And they can be secure in that love, whatever happens. If you're not yet a believer in Jesus, can I ask you where your security is? both for life and very seriously for death. No experience of human love can compete with the experience of the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Human love is always limited. People fall in and out of love. But the love of God in Jesus is another kind of love. And it's available to you. You may say, what do I have to do? Well, you have to admit that you don't deserve it. You then have to believe that Jesus is God, who died to take the punishment for our unworthiness. And then you need to call out to him, the risen Lord, and say, Jesus Christ, will you please show me that love? Will you forgive me my sins? Make me one of the people of the cross. Make me a follower of you. And give me the security forever that nothing can separate me from your love.